Greetings and welcome back to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom, and I'm pleased and privileged to be studying the book of Shmuel Aleph with you, the first book of Samuel. And right now in our study, we are about to attack what is the shortest chapter in Sefer Shmuel, certainly in Shmuel Aleph, which is the 29th chapter, Perek Chaftet. And this chapter deals with an issue that we left off at the beginning of, at the end of Perek Chaf Zayin, which is what David would do about the situation when that he would be faced with when the Plishtim that he seemed to have an alliance with would be going to war against Israel. Let us see how this plays out. Vayikavtzu Plishtim v'kol machaneihem Afeka. They all gathered in Afek. This is not the same Afek that we were at in the fourth chapter, which is near modern-day Netanya. This is up in the Golan. V'Yisrael chonim ba'ayin asher b'Yisrael. And Am Yisrael gathered, the Jewish army gathered, at the spring that is in Emek Yisrael. So these are both in the north now. Sanei Plishtim ovrim l'meot v'la'alafim. So the generals and the officers of the Plishtim are coming in their hundreds. There are thousands of David and Hashem Ovrim Bachronaim Achish. And Achish, going in the back as the king, has David and his men, as Achish had committed him to be going with him as his bodyguards. Now, Vaimusare Plishtim, Mahayrim Ha'ela. So now the other Plishti officers turned to Achish and said, "What are these Ivrim doing with us?" David, Eved Shaul, Melech Yisrael. Notice how he describes David. This is David, the servant of Shaul, who is the king of Israel. And of course, if you parse it differently, it's Eved Shaul, and nonetheless, he is Melech Yisrael. Not that Shaul is, but that David is, but certainly the Pshat is. He is the servant of Shaul, Melech Yisrael. He's been with me for days, perhaps years. From the day that he fell, meaning he fell into my lap, until this day, I've not found anything wrong with him. In other words, he is 100% trustworthy. His loyalty is with us. The fact that a servant of Shaul is now working with the Plishtim seems to be proof positive in and of itself that he has turned his back on his own people. So the other, his colleagues, the other officers, said to him, they became angry with him, and they said, "Send this man back to his place, Shef Katosham, wherever you keep him. He shouldn't come down with us to war. He should not be an enemy, really, in our war. Wouldn't he find favor with his master by bringing him our heads, as it were?" In other words, the way that they're reading David, they're saying, David may indeed be on the outs with his master. But that may not be because David chose to be on the outs and he's aligned with you, but perhaps he angered his master, and that's why he left. And he wants to make up to him, and the way he'll do it is by bringing him our heads. Now this, of course, evokes the image of David taking a plishti head, and that's the head of the giant. Haloza David asher anu lo v'mchalot lemor, and again we hear that popular song, Hikash Shaul Balafav, David v'rivotav. This is the David of that song. He's an Israeli hero. Why would we think that he would not want to take advantage of us in war? He indeed will be a fifth column. We do not know if they are right or wrong. We do not know, had David ended up going to war, whether he would turn and fought against the Plishtim, whether he would have remained passive, what he would have done, but we will never know because of the following. So Achish called David over. Notice he uses David's God's name, Hashem, to take an oath, ki asharata, you're straight, v'tov be'inai, tzeitcha uvuacha itiv machane, it's good for me, as far as I'm concerned, that you should come out and go back with me in the machane. Notice he doesn't use the same words. He says, I found nothing evil about you from the day that you came to me, not from the day you fell. That's how he described David. When speaking to David, from the day you came to me, but as far as the other guy is concerned, they don't like you. In other words, Achish is speaking the truth. He's saying, I like you. As far as I'm concerned, it's fine, but they don't like you. Now, David here has really no choices as far as what to do, but he certainly has a choice of how to react. He can respond by protesting and saying that he really is good and why are you doing this to me, or he can accept it, because in reality it must be a great relief to David that he's not being asked to go and make a choice in his loyalties or have to give something great up, either to inaction, fight against Shaul, which would be terrible for him and for his men, or to blow his cover. David is spared that because of these people, so David really should rejoice and say, thank you very much for relieving me of the problem. But of course, that would give David's hand. So David, being smarter than all that, says as follows. First, Achish continues, and Tashuv Alech B'Shalom, go back in peace. Don't do anything bad in their eyes. In other words, I'm going to try to be good with them. What can I do? They don't like you. They don't trust you. I know you're good. Go on back. So now David, being very smart, says, Vayomer David al Achish, Ki me asiti? What did I do? Uma matzata v'yavdecha miyom ashariti lefanei achar yom hazeh? What did you find evil about me? And it's almost as if David did not hear what Achish said, where Achish said, I like you, but they don't. David turns and says, what did I do? What did you find wrong with me? Ki lo avov nilchamti v'yavdei adonai melech, that I should not come and fight with against the enemies of my master, the king. Now, of course, David's saying this in a very sly way, because if you look at his words, what he's basically saying is, why don't I have an opportunity to go to war and fight against the enemies of my master being Shaul? And of course, that's not what Achish hears. But David is very bright here, because he understands that when somebody is caught in an internal conflict between perhaps what he would like to do and perhaps against what he's being pressured to do, he feels an internal tension, and the fact that he has to make a difficult choice doesn't make it any easier for him, makes it harder. And now, if the person who he was presenting the choice to was to make his life very easy and say, okay, that's your choice, what can I do? Then he might think, hey, this is too easy. And he might say, well, you know what, maybe let me talk to those guys. But David wants Achish to push him away and push him back. And so he wisely protests and says, no, what's wrong? Which, of course, internally is going to push Achish against David and make him come up with reasons why David should not go to war. And so Achish responds, Vayan Achish vayomer al David, Yadati ki tov ata be'inai kemalach Elohim. I know that you're as good as an angel. Ach saref lishtim amru lo, yalai manu mechama. What can I do? My colleagues don't want you to come with us. V'yata ashkema boker, get up early in the morning. V'avdei adonach ashabau itach, and with your other servants. Wait till it's light in the morning and go. So what happens? David's little protest was enough to make it clear to Achish that he really wanted to be there. You say to somebody, go home. And the guy says, okay. And it's pretty clear he didn't want to be there. He was very quick, ready to accept the directive to go home. And then you got to start wondering, why didn't he want to be here? But if the guy says, no, I want to stay. What's wrong? Please give me a chance. Yeah, it's pretty clear he wanted to stay. Now you feel a little strong about sending him home, but you also do not suspect that he really was being deceptive. And that's exactly what David has succeeded in doing here. Vayashkem David huvan ashav lalecha baboker. So David and his men got up early in the morning to go. Ashuv al eretz plishtim. Plishtim alu Yisrael. So they went back to the land of the plishtim. In the meantime, the plishti army went up to Yisrael, where they will now face Shaul. But in the meantime, we have a whole paraklamet to follow David and his men back in a very important interaction in which we will see David again grow. And this is an opportunity to make just a very brief point about David. And following these chapters, as I mentioned way back in Perek Chafalef, we have not seen, there's nobody else in Tanakh whose growth we're able to chart and follow and see detail by detail as much as David. And we see David grow from somebody who is, at the beginning, whether it's Tet Zion or Yod Zion, somebody who is very much of an outcast in his own family, somebody who is a surprise entrant into the war against the Philistine giant, and then comes very quickly, Matzliach, comes very quickly into the orbit of Shaul and Shaul's daughter and Shaul's son and the Shaul's court, and everybody likes him, and nonetheless, even though he's very successful at war, nonetheless he has to run away because Shaul wants to kill him because of the Ruach Ra'ah. And David very quickly draws. He doesn't assemble. He draws 400 men to him, later grows into 600 men, and he becomes their leader. But little by little, he's stepping into the role of real leadership. And we can see that the description given about him back in Perek Tet Zion, when somebody described him to Shaul as Nivon Davar, as a discerning man, and a wise man, and Hashem is with him, and a good fighter, etc., that all of these things are true, and they're getting truer and truer as we go along, as his sense of diplomacy, his sense of leadership, his ability to use strategy, even in the diplomacy, and strategy that he will use in war, his very, very strong sense of values, and his unbending ethic, is something that we, of course, admire, but that also, of course, bode very well for the future king, in whose name all kings of Israel will rule. We will pick up with Perek Lamed, chapter 30, in the next podcast, and until then, everybody should have a wonderful day.